just help me say, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord. I can't hear you. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Oh, I welcome you. Bibles to the book of Hebrews. Give me just a little bit of time here. Don't ask me what little bit is because I have no earthly idea. The book of Hebrews, the 10th chapter. I was guinea pig in the Wednesday morning service, but we had a great time in the Lord. Some things that God is revealing to us that we need to have a clear-cut understanding of. Even myself, I'm still learning. God is still teaching me by His Spirit. He lets us know all the time that we have not learned everything. That He is opening up His scripture that we might know the mysteries that have been hidden from the ages. So now we might know them and we might live in them. As I was telling them, about a month or so ago, I was missing a certain person, so I decided I was going to text them, since that is a new age thing to do instead of just calling folks. They would rather you text them that way when they don't have to deal with you. So as I prepared to text this person, and I was going to text them the scripture, the Lord checked me and said, don't you text that. And I said, it's scriptural. He said, yeah, but that's not what it means. There are family members and friends that we try to encourage to come to church, and the first thing we always tell them is Hebrews, the 10th chapter, and we tell them, well, the Bible says, forget not the assembly of yourself in the house of God. Well, God began to show me that it didn't mean what I thought it meant, and that what it did mean, we should be excited about assembling ourselves. Amen. In the 10th chapter of Hebrews, in the 19th verse, we're going to having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way which He consecrated for us, through the veil, that is to say, His what?
Blood.
Let's read that part again. Through the what?
Veil.
That is to say, which is what?
His blood.
Remember that. And having an high priest over the house of God. Let us do what? Draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us do what? Hold fast the profession of faith without wavering, for He is faithful that promised. Ain't how many glad God faithful?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. And let us do what? And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to what?
Good
works. Amen. Not forsaking, here we go, the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Amen. For if we sin what? Willfully, after that we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more what? Sacrifice for sins. You want to give Lord some praise. Let's go to the 19th verse. It says, having therefore, or in due course, brethren, boldness. How many in here think you're bold? To enter into the what? The holiest. You've got to be bold to enter to the holiest.
Yes.
Right.
Now, you know, when you talk about the holiest, we're talking about a realm where God dwells.
Yeah.
That means you got to leave yourself.
Come on, right.
That's the only way you can get there is leaving yourself.
Yeah, that's right.
And I'm finding out in this particular day and age, the hardest thing to do is to leave myself. Because when the Bible says, have not confidence in the armor of flesh, I have built up a confidence in myself. Well, it's quiet in here. I guess I'm the only one. To have boldness Look at your neighbor and say, boldness. Meaning you have the authority and the frankness and the bluntness and the surety to enter into the holy of all holy places, which is what? The sanctuary of God. And I'm not talking about this building.
Amen.
And the only way to do it is by what? Pastor Keith's talking about in Sunday school class. By a new and living way. Meaning newly slain and living, meaning quickening. A new and quickening way, which he what? Consecrated or separated or even dedicated to us. Amen. He dedicated his life to us. And for us. That through the veil, that is to say, his flesh. I got tickled when I was reading this, because when it talks about the veil, when we think about the veil, we always think about the heavens splitting itself and the heavens opening up. But he was the veil.
Come on now.
The Bible interprets itself. It said the veil, which was his flesh. The only way that the curtain could be torn down was that the flesh had to die.
Amen.
So it was important that Jesus died on the cross in order that the veil might be rent. What he did was, remember, in the earlier verse it says that we now have the boldness to enter into the holiest of the blood, or the holiest of all places, which is the sanctuary of God. Now, when he died, he made it give us an opportunity that we might enter into a realm that we've never been able to enter into.
Come on now.
Where you can see things as they really are and not like you're told they are.
Amen.
So we have that ability, we have that authority now that we can enter into this holy place of God, which is a new and living way, through the veil, which is to say his flesh. It was through him, but Jesus said, I am the door. No man can come into the Father except by or through the Son.
That's right.
So he was the veil. He tore down the curtain, the partition that has separated us from the God.
So,
as we look at this and we see this that on account of and all this things that's taking place, and when we look at veil, it also deals with partitioning off the partition off the most holy place. If you ever went to Jerusalem, or you looked at pictures and you saw the holy place or the temple, there was a place that was separated. See, the problem with that is the Jews still have it separated.
Come on now.
Somebody gonna get that in a minute. So if you want to keep calling yourself a spiritual Jew, that was free too. Amen. Through the veil, to say, which is his flesh, and having a high priest, amen, over or among the house of God. Well, who are the house of God? Go to Hebrews, the 3rd chapter, real quick. See, it's important that when you say something, you have scripture to back up what you have to say. Because if you can't back up with what you are saying, then, well, you know how that is. Look at Hebrews, the 3rd chapter. Let's start at verse 1. Wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, which is us, consider the apostle and the high priest of our profession. Amen. Christ Jesus. Remember, it says Christ Jesus here, not Jesus Christ.
Amen.
He's making a statement by saying Christ Jesus. Jesus Christ represents, or is a typology of Jesus that came to die for us. Christ Jesus is a typology of the Christ died and rose again and now sitteth at the right hand of the Father.
Come on, man.
There are two different terminologies for that, so that we have a clear understanding of where he is in Scripture. So right now he's letting us know that he's talking about the Christ that died and rose again and now sitteth in all power at the right hand of the Father. Which gives us to make the intercession for us. Who was faithful to him that appointed him. Who appointed him? And also Moses was faithful in all his house. See, it's a difference. Moses was faithful in his house, which was his family. Jesus was faithful to the world. Well, this man was counted worthy of more glory than Moses, which is Christ, inasmuch as he who had built the house had more honor than the house. Why? Because he is the architecture. The architect of the house.
Yes, sir.
For every house is built by some man, but he that built all things is God. That lets you know that things that we look at are temporal.
Yes. Amen.
The house that is built by the hands of God is eternal.
Come on, man.
And Moses verily was faithful in all his house, and a servant for a testimony of those things which were to be spoken after. Right. But Christ as a son over his house. It doesn't say old. It says, the original writing says, his house. Right. Whose house are what? How many read that? Mm-hmm. Whose house are you?
We.
Right. You are the house of God. Yes. We are the house of God.
Right.
So that's what is important we understand. We are the, if we hold fast the confidence and the rejoicing of the, if you write in your Bible, circle hope. The hope firm until the end. Don't worry, I'm getting to it. I'm going to show you why it's important that we assemble in the house of God. Mm-hmm. Amen. Rejoicing of the hope firm until the end. Look at 14. For we are made what? Partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning or the chief ruler of our confidence steadfast all the way to the end. Was our beginning? Christ. The word beginning there in the Greek means ruler or chief ruler. Let's go back to 10. Now that you know you're the house of God, this building ain't, but you are. Every place you go, you take the house of God with you. In your car, in your bathroom, in your bedroom, in the grocery store. Wherever you go, you take the house of God with you because you are that. Amen. So, we have this high priest over the house of God, which are we. The book also says he's looking for a many-membered body who is just like the firstborn. Amen. Hold on to that. Having our hearts was sprinkled with from an evil. Look at your neighbor and say, from an evil.
From an evil.
I know ain't nobody here evil. Evil here means malicious. It means malicious, hurtful, full of mischief and malice. I know church don't have them kind of folks. Them kind of folks stay home all the time. They don't go to church. That's funny, ain't it? Y'all cut it out. Now y'all thinking of somebody who in church. Remind y'all of some of this stuff. That ain't the plan. Amen. It's not the plan. Nevertheless, we hold. We abstain from an evil conscience or perception of things. That our perception be lined in the Word of God.
Right.
Yeah.
According to the way the Spirit of God is moving. And our bodies washed with pure.
Come on.
With pure water. Right. There's only one pure water you can ever get your hands on, and it's the Word of God.
Yeah. Right.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. We were talking, Lindsay, on how, you know, we all run around with these bottles of Absolute Pure. In all these different types of waters that are supposed to be so pure and healthy for us. But the scientists have determined that the water that's the healthiest for you is your tap water.
Amen.
Come on, Pastor.
Hold that bottle up, Brother Robbie. See that bottle, Brother Robbie, held holding? It don't have no minerals in it whatsoever. Guess what the human body needs to survive? Minerals. That's why you take iron pills and you take potassium and you take this and you take that to supply and reply all of the minerals that your body needs. So it ain't no pure water. But it's cheaper. Especially with the way the water company operates. You get a 24 bottle case for $1.99. You drink 24 bottles of tap water, it's going to cost you $10.50.
Let's go.
Nevertheless, we know that water represents in the spirituality, it represents the word of God.
Yeah.
So then it says, after we've done this, we realize we're the house of God. Then we have to do what? Let us, not individually, but as a whole. Remember, we're talking about assembling ourselves together. Let us. Okay. The body of what? The body of Christ. Let us draw near with a true heart.
Yeah.
Now, remember I tell you all the time, you have to look these words up in your ego and Greek if you want to know what they really mean. Webster is not going to tell you what they really mean.
Right.
So then you form an opinion of what Webster says.
Right.
The word near in the original writings means let us draw with worship and assent with a true heart. There's only one way you can have a true heart, and that's through Christ. And that's through his what? The washing of the water. The true water. The clean water. The pure water. The word of God, which is pure. Amen. And we do that, we hold fast, we hold on, and sometimes you have to grab onto the word quick.
Amen. Amen.
Yeah.
Because trouble comes quickly.
Yes.
Trouble comes when you least expect it. You can close your front door and go back in and realize you forgot something and go back in and trouble already on you.
Amen.
Well, how can trouble be back on you? Because you forgot your keys in the house and you locked the door already. What do? Do you get mad or do you pray and thank God? Remember? That's what we're supposed to do. We say that because we're sitting here in church. Keep it real.
Yeah.
That's what we should do. But that ain't what we're going to do. Well, some of us might. So Sherry going to go, oh, shit. Let us draw near, or with worship, that's not when you get close to God. Remember, we're trying to get to the holiest place. It's in worship.
Say that.
Your worship will get you right in the way you need to get with God.
Yes.
True worship. Not that carnal worship. Amen. 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 Let us hold fast the what? The profession of faith. Not our faith, but of faith. Because it wants you to know that the profession that you profess it is the faith of God. The same faith that was in God, you got to have also.
Come on now.
Because see, our faith teeter totters.
Amen.
Well, let me change that. My faith teeter totters. I know what God told me he was going to do.
Amen.
But my eyes tell me that it ain't happening.
No.
My heart can convince me that it ain't going to happen when I need it to happen. So what do I begin to do? I secretly worry.
Amen.
Amen. I bet you heard I said secretly worry. Because you want everybody else around you to think you super.
Come on, Pastor.
Oh, my goodness. We got to hold fast the profession of faith without what? Without wavering.
Yes.
That means you got to be steadfast. That means you can't worry. You can't get discouraged. You can't be broken down because of what you're dealing with.
Yes, Pastor. Yes.
You got to be steadfast. You got to hold. If you profess it, then you got to stand in it.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
You know, one of the sayings, folks, that practice what you preach.
Yeah.
And whether you realize it or not, we all preachers, and we all got something to say.
Yeah.
Whether it be good, bad, or indifferent, we have something to say.
Amen.
You know, sometimes we're quick to give. Yeah, I'm going to leave that. Where were we?
Wavering.
I just want to see if anybody was listening. Let us hold fast the profession or the acknowledgement. How do you acknowledge it? Not with your mouth, not with lip service, with your lifestyle. You acknowledge that you're holding fast with your lifestyle. When trouble comes, you thank him anyway. When trials are upon you, you praise him anyway. When hell seems to be all around you, you give him an honor anyway. That's how you profess it. That's how you proclaim it. That's how you let folks know. And you do it without wavering. You do it without teeter-totter. Because why? Because you know that he is faithful. That promised.
Yes. Thank you.
How many are still at 23? I know some of y'all are red on.
Look at it. Let us hold fast the profession of faith. The word faith there's a translation for the word faith. It's translated, look at your neighbor and say,
hope.
Why is it important that we have hope? And we have to have hope without what? Wavering. Because we know he is faithful that promised us and gave us this hope.
Amen.
Here we go. And let us do what? Consider one another to provoke unto love and to what? Good works. Let us consider one another. What is the hope? That's the key. What is this hope? You know, we could come up with some things and say that our hope. We could say, well, my hope is that my loved ones get saved. Or I have hope that somebody's going to get delivered. Or I have hope that somebody's going to get healed. I have hope that God's going to bless me financially. This is the type of hope that we think about. But the kind of hope we need to be thinking about is the hope that says that if we endure it until the end, the same shall be saved.
Amen.
Why do you go through what you go through?
Come on now.
There's a reason you put up with the mess you put up with.
That's right.
There's a reason you deal with the trial and tribulation and the sickness that you deal with in your body. There's a reason for it all. It's not to show people how strong you are, but there's a reason and a purpose and an intent behind it. The problem is we haven't come to an understanding of what that reason is.
Come on now.
Right.
Come on, Pastor.
Right. When we do homegoings, what do we say? The last thing we say is that everybody's looking for the general resurrection of the dead. My hope is that when I went through all I've been through, all the pain and all the aggravation and all the trial and the tribulation, all the sickness and the hurt, all the humiliation and the things that I've had to deal with, that I will see him and I will rise from the dead. That's my hope.
Amen.
I don't go through so I can show folks how powerful I am. I go through what I go through looking for the general resurrection of the dead.
Amen.
Because I know there's life after this one.
That's
my hope. My hope is the fact that I have a chance to live again. That I don't have to die.
Amen.
That's the hope that it's talking about. That's the hope that we have to remember. That's the hope, the strength, and the power of it. That regardless of whether this old flesh is thrown in the ground or not, that there's going to come a day when we're going to live serve our King. That you gonna see Jesus make you want to fight the good fight of faith, run the race with patience, endure trouble and tribulation and trial all the way up to the end.
Yes. Amen. Yes, Lord.
Ooh, Lord Jesus. Somebody got mad at me a couple days ago. They made the statement. They were saying, you know, I can't wait till Jesus comes or till I leave him so I can see my mother. I say, you know what? I don't want to see my mom. And they stepped back and they looked at me and said, who you want to see? I want to see Jesus. Because my mama can't raise me from the dead.
Glory.
My mama can't change this corruptible into the incorruptible. My hope faithful. So let us consider one another to provoke, to stir up, to encourage. Amen. See, we call the church to remind folks of our hope.
That's right.
Amen.
Say that. Say it.
We don't come so that we can make folks think that we're spiritual or that we're good Christians. We come because we encourage one another to remember the hope. So we consider one another and we provoke, we encourage each other, remind each other about the hope. My goodness, I have hope and confidence.
Glory, glory, glory. Hallelujah.
Unto love. Why? Because without love, you can't go see God. Because God is love.
Amen.
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 That's right.
Amen. Come on.
So we love on each other. We hug each other. We encourage each other. We lift each other up. If you ain't doing it, you need to go out the door and start over.
Come on now. Come on now.
My goodness, there's a reason, a purpose we come here. If you come here with a bad attitude, you need to go find your corner and pray about it.
That's right. That's right.
Amen.
Come on now.
I go pray. I go find that corner. Get my spirit right.
Amen.
Get my head right.
Amen.
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 Consider one, provoke each other unto love and to what?
Good
works. Works good means valuable or virtuous, and works is effort and labor to provoke folks to want to do what's right in the eyes of God so that they can show forth their hope. I'm living right because I want to see my hope. If you go to the book of Corinthians, it'll tell you who the hope is. It says our hope is Christ Jesus, the resurrected one. He is a living, breathing, walking hope.
Glory.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Glory.
Amen.
Glory.
For I am that blessed hope. Men have sought for me since the beginning of time, but I have manifested myself unto you. And I am what you look for. I am what you possess, desire to possess. For in me are all the things that you have need of.
I am the good shepherd, and I shepherd those unto life, for I am that door. I'm the door to your hope. The everlasting hope. The eternal hope. That man might see a living God manifesting in the midst of my people. So that those that are lost might see that hope. And consider their ways, that they might turn and see the hope that stands before them. For I am the one who leads all to eternal life. Eternal life is in me and no other. For I am that hope. And those that are confident in me, those that are faithful in me, they shall see me. I shall come back and I shall raise them up, and they shall be just like thee, saith the Lord.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Things are now. Won't be like him. We want to be like him. Welcome to church. Things are now coming to my insight on things. The last, when my mother was laying in the living room in the hospital bed, and we knew she was leaving, we just didn't know when. So a friend of mine, we went over there and we sang songs to her all day. Well, most folks say you're wasting your time, but no, she heard us.
That's right. Yeah. Amen. Yeah.
I don't have no doubt that she heard us singing to her. Well, just before we got ready to leave, I got up and I said, I love you, Mom. And I got ready to leave. And her eyes opened. And she looked at me. And I said to myself, why is she fighting? Stand by. Why is she fighting? Is this a lie? I could not understand that, Brother Joe, why she wasn't fighting with her last breath to survive. And it's funny. When I was reading this, God brought it back to my remembrance. And he said the reason she didn't fight because she saw her hope. And it wasn't here on the earth, but it was somewhere else. So she was ready to leave here. We say we're ready to leave here, but we fight. We go to the doctor every time we get a chance, trying to live. But some folks don't. Some folks say, I'm ready to leave. I'm not going to see no doctor. I'm not taking no chemo. You're not going to give me no radiation. If I'm going to stay, I'm going to stay. If I'm going to leave, you know why they say that? Because they recognize who their hope is. When you recognize who your hope is, you don't have to be fearful of death. Death, where is thy sting, O grave? I'm almost done.
Hallelujah.
So that's why we come and we lift up each other, encourage one another. It says, the good works, doing what? Not forsaking.
That's right.
Not forsaking. That means, like being in the army when the battle gets too rough. Bullets flying all over your head and grenades are dropping at your feet. Folks decide it's too much for them. So they desert their post. I know a lot of folks that have deserted their post.
Come on now.
Come on because now. It was too rough on the battlefield. What they fail to realize, they're still in a battle.
Yeah. That's right.
They left the battle where they had complete victory to fight in a battle where they have none. It says, not deserting your post. Whatever it may be.
Come on, get up.
Oh, my goodness. You can't desert. You can't run from what God has called and chosen you to.
Amen.
Sure, it's rough. Sure, nobody understands what you're going through because they don't have your heart, your mindset. They don't live with your emotions and your feelings, so they can't possibly understand what it is that you're dealing with and how you're feeling about certain situations. But Jesus does.
Amen.
That's why he's a priest.
Yeah.
Over your house.
Amen.
He can't guide you if you don't let him.
Amen.
And you won't let him if you don't recognize him as your hope. Hallelujah. So for this cause, for this reason, we don't desert our post, and we do what? We assemble. The assembling of ourselves. Go to 2 Thessalonians real quick. 2 Thessalonians. 2 Thessalonians, the second chapter. Maybe there's an assimilation going on. You know, we watch all these movies about these space movies. You may not, but I do. Because I know it's just a movie. Things are simulating folks and something folks up, and because they want to become who that person is. So they can live alongside humans. If they do like I know, they stay where the heck they were. 2 Thessalonians, the second chapter, first verse. Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and by our what? Gathering
together
unto him or in him, that we be not soon shaken in what? Mind? Or be troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter, as from us, as that the day of Christ is what? Is at hand. Go back to Hebrews. We assemble ourselves together. We gather ourselves together so that we can strengthen one another. Amen. We can uplift one another. Sometimes you don't have to talk to somebody to uplift them. All you got to do is smile at them or hug them or shake their head to let them know that there's something greater than what they see here. There's something far greater than what they've imagined. There is a hope that we have the ability and the authority to go to now. So we don't desert or forsake our assembly. And I like it says ourselves, of ourselves, because that means you got to make yourself go sometimes.
Amen.
We're talking about self.
Amen.
Self is always looking for a reason not to be around the people of God.
Amen.
Amen.
One of the biggest things I hear all the time, Mother Relevant, is that it's a bunch of hypocrites in church. So what? They in the supermarket.
Amen.
Everywhere else you go.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
They in your house.
Amen.
A hypocrite is somebody that just hides behind a mask.
That's right.
You don't know who folks really are until a certain situation arrives. Then you find out who they are and what they made of. I tell you this, I tell you again, because what's in a person is going to come out. All you got to do is put them in the right arena.
Yeah.
So we come together.
Yes, Lord.
Amen.
Amen.
Ooh, Lord have mercy.
Take time, Pastor.
We assemble ourselves. We bring our flesh together. We bring ourselves together as the manner of some. And see, what he was talking about, in the book of Hebrews, he's talking about how the Jews assembled themselves in their synagogues.
Right.
Wailing and all that stuff that they do. Been there. I see what they do. It's amazing. And the funny thing about it is, knowing Jesus is Lord, I would say to myself, they're not getting nothing done.
Amen.
They wear little rubber bumpers on the front of their head. They bounce their head off the wall. How many of us don't have rubber bumpers and bumping our heads off the wall? Because we don't recognize our hope. Oh, y'all, you know what? Y'all,
Lord Jesus.
So we bring ourselves together. We bring ourselves together so that we can lift one, we can exhort. Means to comfort, to entreat. You don't know what people going through.
Right.
You have no idea what that person sitting next to you has been through. The trials and the stuff that they are being put up under. The fire that's burning up under them. The trials that are overwhelmed. You have no idea. And if you don't get control over your flesh when you go into the house of God, you will never know
recognize who your hope is. Yeah. I'm here because my hope says I love, I entreat, yeah. I encourage, I uplift, I build up. I don't say where you been.
Yeah. 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 Woo! Come on, man.
My hope, pastors, I'll go see Jesus. And it don't matter what condition this old body in.
Amen.
It don't matter what condition my heart is in. I'm going to see him. Because my mind made up. I better have a made up mind. Because you know who your hope is. I'm going to say, mama, hi, but I got to get to Jesus. Get with you in a second. And see, knowing that my hope is, Revelation even makes it even more plain for, because it says, hey, am I shut up? It's going to be a new heaven
yeah.
and a new earth coming down.
Yeah. 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 That's right. That's right. That's right.
I'm going to leave that one alone. Ooh, Lord Jesus. A new earth and a new heaven coming down to replace the one that was. Guess who's gonna be with them? Them that recognize their hope.
Come on now. Come on now.
Lord Jesus. Y'all making me hot. Assemble ourselves, exhorting, and so much the more. And we do more. Sometimes you gotta go out of your way.
Yeah. Amen.
That's when you don't feel like talking.
Amen.
You don't feel like praying for folks because you need prayer. You don't need like encouraging folks because you need to be encouraged yourself.
Yeah.
That's the more.
Amen.
That's right.
Amen.
I got to close this out. Wipe my head. Yes, ma'am. I'm there. Yes, ma'am. Leave. Amen. And so much more as you see the day approaching. And you know when this was written, right? How many have an idea when this was written? Well, let's go back a couple thousand years, nevertheless. Anyway, if they saw it approaching then,
right.
Where does that put us today? Somebody gonna be thinking about that, baby. Where does that put us today? The word see means your perception. Your ability, your supernatural ability to see beyond that which is natural and see that which is spiritual.
Say that.
Amen. Closing with this one. For if we do what?
Sin.
If we do what?
Sin.
I like the message first lady when I was studying. Because I said, hey, baby, let me tell you, let me show you something. Because the word get her going. Trying to get us slow down. We still got to go to church. For if we sin, what? Willfully. When you look at the word sin, there are so many meanings for the word sin. Here is, listen to this. Here it means amataro. Or harmatano, which means, listen to this, to disqualify oneself from receiving a portion or share of what they've been promised.
Amen.
What is it saying? You are the only one that has the ability to shut yourself out.
Amen.
I can't shut you out. A prophet, a pastor, a teacher, an evangelist, you are the only one that has the ability to remove yourself from the promise.
Amen.
How do you do that? By forgetting and not recognizing your hope.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. I'm going to see Jesus. I can deal with this. I'm going to see Jesus. I'm going to put up with you. I'm looking to see Jesus. I'm going to pray myself through this.
Amen.
I know, Pastor Relliford, that my hope is Jesus. And that this hope, that if I stand, having therefore stood, having my loins girded about with the word of truth, that I'm going to see him
again.
Amen. And you know what? It goes on to say, I'm going to see him as he is.
Amen.
You know what that's saying? Whether you realize it or not, that you're going to see your hope before you leave here.
Amen.
Amen. Yes, sir.
Oh.
My goodness. For if we sin willfully, oh, my goodness. For if we do this willfully, or it also has another meaning, it means to play or compete, to fail to play or compete by the rules.
Yeah.
Wow. I mean, I'm going to read that again real slow. To fail to play or to compete according to the rules. What are the rules? The word of God.
Amen.
Biggest rules in this word says what? Let things be done decent.
And in order.
And in order. Why? Because after that we have received the knowledge. The knowledge of the truth. My God. There remaineth no more sacrifice for sins. So what does it say? You better make up your mind. And when you talk, when it talks about knowledge, it means, let me read it like this. For if we disqualify ourselves from our portion or share of the promise, or if we decide we're going to play and compete with outside the rules, after we have received full discernment of what the hope is,
amen,
there is no escape. That's why Paul told them, for you are without excuse. Because you have discerned, your perception has been changed, and you can see what the hope is. So your mess ups are without excuse.
Amen.
I know folks saying, well, God said he'll give us 70 times 7. Yeah. What folks don't realize is that what is going on here in this particular verse of scripture is there is a change in the dispensation. This will scare some of y'all. The dispensation of grace is going to disappear.
Amen.
And what you don't already know and understand and your perception hasn't already grabbed onto, so you know what your hope is, see ya.
I wouldn't want to be here.
Amen.
That's right. That's right. That's the truth. That means that you can no longer do what Romans 12:1 says. Present yourself as a living sacrifice. You know how scary that is? That you can no longer present yourself to God as a living sacrifice? Because of a dispensational change. I got to go down here what dispensation means, but y'all, some of y'all need to look it up because you need to know. So here we are. We've assembled today. We praise God. We worship Him.
Thank you, Lord.
We even got so excited about the worship that we actually forgot what we were going through. And not only for a split second.
Yeah.
Amen. That split second that you forgot what you was going through, yeah. Guess what that is?
Amen.
That's that hope.
Right.
So if you can dwell in that hope continuously, you can be moved.
Right.
By high water, low water, muddy water, trouble, trial, tribulation. Because you know what? Your hope will do what? It'll pull you. My hope is pulling on me. There are times I'm ready to give up, my hope grabs me.
Yeah.
It grabs me. Pulls me. And I've learned that when it grabs me, it begins to pull on me to follow it. Because if I follow Sister Linda, what I've been seeking God for with great expectation is right there at the end with the puller.
Yeah.
So we assemble ourselves. We come into the house of God. We bring our houses into this house.
That's right.
And we praise God. We create an atmosphere so God can come in and move upon our mind, our hearts, and our spirits. So we can get encouraged. Amen. So we can go back out and do what God called us to do. And that is to do what? Present ourselves as what? Living sacrifice. Holy and acceptable unto God, which it says is our reasonable service. That means that's we're obligated to it.
Amen.
We come to a place now, we don't want to obligate ourselves to nothing but ourselves.
Amen.
You ain't been there, you will. And you will have to make a decision. Who you are, what you are, and what God calls you for. Amen.
Amen.
Everybody stand. There's a purpose for us being here today, and it's not to look good.
Amen.
Not to show folks how well we can shout.
Amen.
How spiritual we are, how fast we can run. How well we praise God, but we were assembled here today that we might encourage each other without saying anything to each other by being here, period.
Right.
Because I know that you've been through something, but you're here. I know you're going through something, but you're here. I know you've been tried like a fire, but you're here.
Amen.
I know trouble is on every hand, but you're here. The reason you're here is because your hope pulled you here.
Amen.
And now I'm gonna step out on a limb and tell you this. Whether you realize it or not, there are folks around you that are here because they see the hope in you.
Amen.
They can see the hope.
Yes.
The hope. Living in you. We have become so proud that we secretly want it. Doing everything is secret nowadays. But it ain't really secret. It's only secret for them who think it's secret. Take somebody by the hand. Father, for years I prayed for prosperity. I didn't realize that the prosperity that I wanted was you and not what I could lay my hands on. So, Father, as we have assembled here today, we are seeking prosperity.
Yes.
The richness of life.
Yes.
And peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. Father, you said you have provided for us a place of rest. So let us learn to dwell in that rest because we know that you are that hope. You are that main hope. You are hope, Father, in heaven, on the earth, and upon the earth. Your name doesn't change. So, Father, we thank you right now. We're not asking you, but we're thanking you right now for the hope that is living in us. That we might assemble wherever we go, Father, and show folks that hope. The love, Father, the peace, the joy, the goodness, the mercy, the long-suffering, Father, the faith. Lord God, that we might show forth that hope. Father, in the name of Jesus, use us for your glory. Strengthen us, Father, in every area and things of our lives, whether it be spiritual, physical, or financial. Lord God, set us on high, Lord, that we might sit there and look down and recognize that there's something that you have in store for us, far more greater than we've imagined in the past, but now we can see it in the present. Because the veil has been rent that we might see those things which have been hidden, but now we might see them as they are. So, Father, provide and meet the needs in our spirit. And therefore, we'll know, Father, that all things shall be added unto us, whether it be spiritual or physical or financial. So, Father, in the name of Jesus, let us assemble wherever we go, Lord God, showing forth that hope and that strength and that love that you've placed within us. Father God, you prepare us, Father, for the ministry that you have already spoken and promised us, Lamb of God. For all the trouble that we go through, we thank you, Lord. All the trials that we deal with, we thank you, Lord. All the sicknesses that apprehend us, we thank you, Lord. All the winds that blow our way, we thank you, Lord. All the storms we stand in the midst of, Father, we thank you, Lord. We can thank you because we have assembled and exhorted ourselves one to another and show forth the love and giving us strength to endure even unto the end, Father. For we are one, Lord God, one mind, one thought, one idea, one principle, one anointing, one authority, one dominion. Father, so use us for your glory. Prepare us, Lord God, with your word. Let the word dwell so richly and deeply within our souls and in our spirit that it cuts to and fro, Lord God, piercing even to the body of son and soul, Father, of marrow, Father, amashata and bone. Lord God, use, Lord God, that which we have set before you, which is ourselves, and we present ourselves now as your sacrifice, Lord God. So in the time to come, when there can be no more sacrifice, we will have already sacrificed who we are, that we might become who you are. So Father, I thank you right now in the name of Jesus for preparing your people, Lord God, your saints, Lord God, for the warfare that's already upon us, Lord God. But Father, it shall grow greater day by day. But Father, we shall not be the victim, but we shall be the victor in the midst of all trouble. We shall be the victor in the midst of trial. We shall be the victor in the midst of heartache. We shall be the victor in the midst of sickness. We are the victorious ones, so Father, as you prepare us and set us on high. And Lord God, as we move ourselves through our perception, our understanding of your word and acknowledgement of your spirit, Father, have your way in our lives, Lord God. Let the anointing of God destroy every yoke that will so easily beset us and separate us from that walk that you call us to, a virtuous and a strong walk, Father, in you. So, Lamb of God, I give you praise. I give you glory today. I magnify your name, Lord God, for touching every body, every mind, every heart, every mindset, every spirit. Father, in the name of Jesus, let no one leave this building. Let no one leave this assembly like they can. But, Father, under the direction and the power of the living and the Holy Ghost, Lord God, separate us from that which would cause us to beset ourselves. Separate us from that. Strengthen us in it, Father, that it no longer keeps us from seeing you as you are. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you right now, Lord God, for moving by your spirit, Father, in the miraculous, in the wonderful, in the glorious name of Jesus. And the church says,
amen.
Come on and give God some praise.